Good evening, church. How's everyone doing this evening? Had a beautiful, beautiful day out today, didn't we? So here we are, another Thanksgiving Eve, and so thankful to be here tonight. If you're a guest of ours, it's such an honor to have you here, visiting with us, worshiping with us. And if you haven't signed in at the kiosk, we'd just like to have you sign in, and we just got a few questions to ask. And a small gift for you. As I said before, our gifts sometimes vary. I think tonight's is a all-expense trip paid to the Yukon in Alaska. Look at all the people running this. Just kidding. So, but if you're a guest, we just have a small gift for you. Or you can go online and at our CGC Bitly Connect. Also, we have some giving options. And you can give outside in the vestibule. We have out in the vestibule, we have those plexiglass boxes, or you can go to our website, or you can give it through our church app, and we appreciate that. Also, in the talking about the giving, many of you are aware that Carl and Cecily and Brooke and Kelvin Wells, their trailers, I guess you could say trailers, they were living out at Kelvin Wells' house. And the trailers and the house all burned down to the ground. I mean, like literally everything was lost. And that was last week. And if you would like to take and donate something to help them out, just donate that right to the Benevolent Fund here at Calvary. And we'll get that funds, those funds directed on to them. Continue to pray for them because they are looking for alternative housing. But I do want to thank the Neesums. I think Jeff and Linda Neesum have taken Bryce. I always want to go Bryce and Brooke. That's my niece and nephew. Have taken Calvin, Brooke, and Sienna in. And I appreciate that. And then also the family as far as Bryce and Brooke and Kirby and Brittany have kind of co-taking in Carl and Cecily and the girls. So I appreciate that. So and this Friday, so this will be Black Friday, a lot of the wives will be out shopping and running up those gift cards and all that kind of good stuff. But we are going to have something at an AIM, one of our Take AIM Connection group. And this will be 7 to 9 at Flannel Jack's. Brother Kirby Waters is your point person, and they're going to have something that's just you would never think you would announce over the pulpit at church, but we're going to have an axe throwing contest. So I just want to let you guys know that the last time we had one of these, I think it was Brother Phil Demas that cleaned the house, learned that he had a hidden talent of throwing axes. Now, if you go over to his house, he's got axe marks all over the trees in the backyard, and no, I'm just joking. So, but our kids, we're moving on. We have a kids' Christmas play here at the church on December 17th. And we have invitation cards if you'd like to take and invite someone to that. It'll be an awesome. The kids have been practicing for a very long time. And we're excited about this. So grab a card, change a life, and we appreciate that. So if we could all stand, we just want to start this service off in prayer. And then we're going to have a short, some worship, and then we are going to have a number of speakers tonight. So I'm excited about that. And it's our Thanksgiving testimonial service. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. And thank you, Lord, for bringing us here tonight safe. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one of my brothers, sisters, our friends, our guests that are here worshiping with us. I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon this. That's all of our speakers that are going to be speaking tonight. That there would be a blessing to each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can stand. You can come down front to worship. Whatever you would like. God bless you. And
thanks. I give you thanks. I give you thanks for for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
To hold.
So thankful for who our God is. So thankful that we serve a living God and a personal God. You can be seated this evening. Every year we have a Thanksgiving message of some sort. And last year we did some testimonials. And I just really, really enjoyed that. I know many of you did because you made comments on that. And, you know, the holidays kind of starting, I guess, tomorrow, going all the way through Christmas, New Year, is such a stressful time for so many people. And I know we have all kinds of personal opinions and all kinds of things that are just floating around out there, and families get together, and sometimes it's not such a thankful and it's not such a peaceful place. So if you struggle with holiday peace, I mean, we look at Christmas, the Prince of Peace, that's a peaceful, the song's all about peace on earth and goodwill towards men, and sometimes it feels like a battle breaks out at the supper table or the Christmas feast or the Thanksgiving feast. And if you have one of those situations or your family, last year we did a series. It was a number of short messages on how to take and have a peaceful holiday, how not to have a holiday full of conflict. So I just want to encourage you as we enter into this holiday season, if you're struggling and your family struggles in those areas, just go back and just listen to some of those. They're only about 30 minutes long, and take and hopefully bring some peace and some Thanksgiving. I believe that Thanksgiving, we celebrate it once a year. But I believe that Thanksgiving is much more than just once a year celebration. That Thanksgiving should be a way of life. It should be a lifestyle for us to be always to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and some of our speakers may read this tonight, which would be totally fine, but it says, "In all things give thanks." And most of the time we stop right there, don't we, Elder Caskey? "In all things give thanks." That's what we say. But Paul isn't finished there. He goes on. He says, "For this is the will of God." You want to fulfill the will of God in your life? So many people say, "Oh, I want to fulfill the will of God in my life." Well, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." Concerning me. That's written to us personally, right, Brother Repka? I mean, Paul is saying that, you know what, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." So we have some awesome, awesome members here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of these folks that have offered to come up. It's not an easy task to get up here and testify, share some, at times, emotional things with folks and a personal testimony. But I'm so thankful for all of these that have offered to take a part of this. So first one in our lineup tonight is Brother Philip Stope. And we're so thankful for the Stope family here at Calvary Gospel Church. So come share with us, Brother Philip. God bless you. Preach the word, brother.
Well, thank you, Pastor Roy. Yeah, well, first off, I just want to say thank you, Pastor Roy, for the opportunity and asking us to come up here and do this. It's, you know, it's just kind of it's a privilege. I think everyone doesn't always get the opportunity. So, yeah, I want to say thank you for that. Next thing I had was, we have a birthday today, and I thought since I'm up here, it's a good opportunity to say happy birthday to Gilbert. He's turning 10 today, so big. And then courtesy of Gilbert, he said I should start out with a joke because after all, it is Turkey Day tomorrow, so he had a good turkey joke for us. So it goes like this. Why did the people let the turkey join the band? Because he could bring his own drumsticks. So, yeah, so thank you, Gilbert, for that. So now move forward a little bit. I just wanted to kind of, there were so many things I could talk about when thinking about what I'm thankful for or, you know, things that have happened in my life. And one thing I think comes to mind, I was listening to the radio the other day, and a song from Toby Mac came on called Faithfully. And it talks about how no matter struggles in your life, and this song in particular talks about struggles over the past year or recent years, and how God is always there for you, kind of when, even when you're undeserving, God's always faithful and always there for you. And I think that's one thing, when thinking back over the past few years, that's been something that really sticks out to me, is God's faithfulness. And one verse or a couple verses that come to mind is in Psalms 103:17. Let's see if I have it here. Okay, here we go. But the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting upon those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, and his righteousness is in his children, is to his children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments and do them. And I think, you know, with that, you know, there's so many things. If you keep the commandments of God, he's so faithful. And you know, I think if I could narrow it down to, I think one thing that I'm very thankful for is the CGC family that we have here. You know, we met back in 2019, and our family moved to the Madison area, and we started coming to the CGC church here. And everyone was very supportive, you know, at every turn of the road. But then COVID happened, you know, and there's so many things changed, and we ended up moving back up north and then coming again back down to Madison area. And, you know, over those years, we had people on multiple occasions make the trip up north to come visit, and the encouragement was always there. You know, everything from coming to our house to visit us and, you know, enjoy game nights with us, to going out to dinner with us, to, you know, I think just all the time you guys were there and supporting us. And, you know, now we fast forward to 2023, and it's no small feat to move your family, you know, two 26-foot moving trucks, and you know, arriving here, and we get up early that morning to drive down here, sign papers and start unloading the truck. And it was a normal June day in Wisconsin, so it's really, really hot. You know, the last thing you feel like doing is unloading the truck with your stuff in it, let alone having someone else unload your truck. You know, I mean, so I think we're unloading a truck, and right when we feel like, man, we can't do this anymore, people started showing up to help us carry dressers, help us carry mattresses, and just help us unload the truck. And I think that was just a huge encouragement to us that, you know, you guys took time out of your days and would come help unload a moving truck when it's not necessarily the funnest thing to do. You know, and I think, you know, I have some pointers here, so I'm trying to kind of stick to those so I don't go over on time, but, you know, things also get tough sometimes when you're adjusting to a new area, new town, and it seemed like every time we would be in a tough spot, we'd go to the mailbox and find multiple cards of encouragement and just welcoming us back to the area, you know, of which we would put in the windowsill of our house as a constant reminder that, you know, what a great family we have here. You know, there's that. We had everything from people bringing us the boys' favorite candy on Wednesday nights, you know, and and just giving that to them. So I think it's just something different that we have here at CGC. You know, we have a great church family. We all care for one another. We're all there to help each other out when we need it, and kind of keep us on the right track. So I guess in conclusion, one more verse comes to mind when thinking about unity and what we have at CGC. It's Ecclesiastes 4:12. And it talks about a threefold cord. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. But a threefold cord is not easily broken, or is not quickly broken. And I think of that threefold cord kind of like what we have at CGC is, you know, we're here for one another. It's not easy to get past or break through what we have here because we have such a strong bond with one another. And I think, yeah, you know, I guess on behalf of our family, I just want to say it's a complete honor and privilege to be able to call this church our home church. So thank you guys, each and every one of you, and we're very thankful to be here.
The next person I would like to take and invite to come up the front. The Carnes family started coming to Calvary. Seems like they've always been here. But just a year, maybe a little more than a year ago, and they just fit right in. And it's just such an honor to have them here. And they're an awesome, awesome couple, awesome family. And I've asked Sister Michelle Carnes to come and share a few words with us tonight. Sister Michelle, God bless you.
Praise God. I'm a little bit nervous. Lord, help me. All right. Good evening, children of God. It takes me a lot of courage to take this kind of privilege given by me to speak and share in front of you of how thankful I am knowing Jesus in our lives. Bear with me, brothers and sisters, with my Filipino accent. If you don't understand, I will not be offended, but you can ask me later, okay? It's been almost 3 years I've been here in the U.S. I am happy and excited when I, my son, and my husband been reunited year 2021. Until I experienced the winter season in Wisconsin, and now I'm thinking if I did the right decision in my life. But I take it back. Sure, I did. But Jesus' perfect timing is the best. I believe everyone has a different amount of faith. In such, everyone has a different kind of story and testimony to tell of how God works in our lives, and I will share mine tonight. Brief introduction about me. My name is Michelle Carnes. For those who doesn't know me yet, I'm a mother of my only boy, Ethan, and a wife of Jonathan. I know that he's here supporting me right now. Hi there. Fast forward of my story. I got baptized in the name of Jesus when I was 17 years old and received the Holy Ghost at the same age. My father's brother and his wife are believers. I stayed with them for 4 years during my high school studies. Unfortunately, I backslided for 18 years because of some reason. I went back home after my high school to start college. My family has their own principles of life and teaching about faith. Years passed by. I was captivated by the worldly things, and there's a lot going on, and I was not happy. Until I came here in the U.S., I got diagnosed having this autoimmune disease. I was down, hopeless, and couldn't process everything. I couldn't accept it. And then, I had a friend that used to be my colleague in the Philippines. She lived in the U.S. in a long time. We used to communicate and update each other what's going on in their lives. And my friend offered me help with what we called counseling. She referred me to a friend of hers. We became friends, and she mentored me in so many ways that I didn't expect that's what all about. She sent me a lot of videos of things that I never encountered. I ended up watching a bunch of those. I was curious until I realized those videos were opposing the faith that I believe in. After almost 2 days of watching, my heart began to feel heavy. I couldn't sleep. I cannot focus. I feel something was not right. I feel like something was corrupting and attacking my mind. Slowly, my heart and soul started to wander. And I know it's a conviction from God. I started to play the song, "The Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness." Tears couldn't stop falling. I started speaking tongues I missed that. It was been 18 years. I just experienced that last year again. The touch of the comfort that I feel. He is here. Heaven is real. Jesus is the God that I know. The Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. I called my pastor, my former pastor, 18 years. He said, like, this is Michelle, the long lost God. Like, I can tell, a child of God. He sent me this address, the Calvary Gospel Church. The first day I walked in this church, my soul was hungry. If someone's noticed me back then, I just like came in and just like, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know you, everyone here. Just like, I know the presence of God is here. And that time, I just wanted to feel the glory of God. He's the only way to ease the trouble of my mind. I was troubled. I feel like I'm going to get crazy that time. And Pastor Jessica handed me this Bible, and I bring it every time I go. I just put it in my bag. And the testimony gives me a lesson in my life. God revealed and let the situation happen in some chapter of lives to remind us that He is there, always willing and ready to hug and comfort us with His presence in times we wouldn't understand what's going on around us. When we are scared, when we are in doubts and in confusion, when we are in pain and sorrow, and when we are in a hopeless situation, Jesus is our light in our darkest ways and their darkest times, of course. Jesus held me, my mind especially, declaring my body and soul. He reminds me that He is always here. When the enemy tried to convince me with their lies and false beliefs during my tough situation, Jesus led me to the correct path. I am thankful to be the part of this church, our Calvary Church, where I proudly belong, which is composed with amazing people of God. And thank you all, guys. We are sealed by His glory, and we are the children of God. This year, 2023, the goodness of God showered us in so many ways, and we began thankful. He saved my 90-year-old grandma in the Philippines. He saved my wonderful mom. He saved my loving husband. And He saved my precious son. They got baptized in the name of Jesus like me. I am continuously praying that God will touch the heart of the rest of my family circle, my friends, and to yours. What a wonderful year that God gave me. My heart is truly grateful and thankful. All this glory and honor belongs to you, our God, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you so very much, Sister Michelle. God is so good, isn't He? Just amazes me how God just works and orchestrates He's not confined by time zones, national boundaries, gravity. God is so good. We have two young men that are going to come and going to share a short testimony, and I am so very excited. We have Malachi and Josiah Demas are going to come up. Come on up, guys.
Amen. I'm here as interpreter and moderator. All right, I'm going to sit down so everyone can see you.
Hey, everybody.
He's got a joke for everyone.
Joke? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Say it nice and clearly. Say it loud.
Interrupting cow. Interrupting cow.
Woo!
Good job. All right, so we talk about being thankful and grateful at home, don't we? What is one thing that you're thankful for?
I think the house.
Okay. Your house?
Mm-hmm.
Why thankful for our house?
I like it.
You like it, good. Well, that's a good way, reason to be thankful. What's another thing that you're thankful for? Doing great. Your stuffies? Okay. Why are you thankful for your stuffies?
I like them.
Because you like them. Okay. And lastly, one more thing. What are you thankful for?
A mom.
Oh, that's really good. Why are you thankful for mom?
Because you're the best dear ever.
Oh, she's the best ever. Ah. All right. Good job, Malachi. All right. Good. All right, Josiah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I want to share a story with you. Me and Malachi had just woken up, and we were playing with the electric blanket in the living room, and I tucked it in like a sheet on the couch. Malachi decided to turn it on, and I forgot to turn it off. We left for church. Dad and Mom didn't know it was on, so we left it on during church. It was a Sunday, which it was on for about 3 hours. And then when we came home, Mom got under the electric blanket, and then Malachi started smelling something weird. Mom then put him down for his nap. Then she got under the blanket again, and she got out. And just as she got out, I found a burnt hole in the blanket, and the wires were twisted up and burnt. And it burnt a pretty big hole in our couch, and it also burnt a hole in a pillow that was on top because I had been laying on that pillow earlier in the morning. Let's look at the pictures. It was cool that it didn't start on fire, which was good, and that's what I'm thankful for. I've got a joke for deer hunters. What's the best place to go deer hunting? Deer field.
Thank you, sir. Oh, that's... Thank you so very much, Malachi and Josiah. We have a young man that has agreed to come up and share a short testimony. He's grown up in this church. He was born here, grew up here, and it's just an honor to be able to take and introduce Colin Chernikowski. So, Brother Colin, you come this evening. And... share with us. God bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord, church. I don't have a joke to follow. I can't follow that. I'd like to start off by thanking Pastor. This is an honor and a privilege, and I don't take this lightly. I also would like to give honor to my beautiful fiance, who, for reasons beyond my comprehension, still said yes when I asked her to marry me. Anyways, let's get into it. So, Cambridge Dictionary defines thankfulness as the feeling of being happy or grateful because of something. So the question I pose to you is, does happiness always have to be involved in order to be thankful? Pastor touched on it a little bit earlier. One of my verses is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I want to give a little story. This has happened recently, and it's not concluded yet. But on July 22nd, I was playing basketball on a Sunday afternoon over in Kiva, and I slipped and fell. My knee hit the ground and swelled up, but I was still able to walk on it. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm fine. Just need to ice it, need to go down. I remember putting it off for a few weeks, kind of being like, I don't want to get this checked out. I'm fine. It's just a sprain, you know, I'll be back. So finally, went into the doctor August 2nd. I was laying on the table. She's pulling on my knees. It's not hurting. I'm like, okay, we're doing all right. We're fine. How many here knows what a Lachman test is? A Lachman test is where you lay down on your back and you lift your knee so that your leg angle is about 90 degrees. And what they will do is they will pull on your lower leg to test the integrity of your anterior cruciate ligament. So, like I said, she pulled on it. There's no pain. I'm fine. And I will never forget the moment when she took a step back and leaned against her counter and said, "I think you tore your ACL." I kind of just broke down right there. I was in shock. I've heard of stories of this happening. I'm a big sports fan. This happens all the time. But it doesn't happen to me. Why is this happening to me? I'm 23 years old, and now I have to get my leg cut open? Like, why is this happening? So I began bargaining, like, why is this me? Why did I move? All I had to do was stand still and not move, and I would have been fine. So I kind of just went into shock. I don't remember much of what she said after that, but that was the main point. But to get back to the Lachman test, your knee is supposed to stop, and that tells them that the ACL is still there. Mine kept going, left versus my right. And so I kind of spiraled for a couple weeks, like wondering, like, why is this happening? I know this is going to take a year, maybe. For those of you that know me, you know that I'm very active. I like my sports. And to now not be able to do that, let alone run for a year, I was in shock. And so this went on for a few weeks, and I remember coming to Wednesday night service on August 30th, and I've listened to this message now multiple times. It was Brother Dean Byfield, missionary to France, and he titled his message, "Purpose in Your Storm." And so that kind of hit me, and I was like, okay, God, well, now that this pity party is over, like, what do you have for me? And so I'm not going to go into his whole message, but there were two quotes that he said that stuck out to me. He said, "Perhaps this storm is happening to make you stronger, to make you a witness and a testimony to someone you haven't even met yet." And I know from experience I've already met multiple people, because now I have a scar on my leg, that's kind of obvious, that I've just been talking to around the gym, around a couple sports groups that I'm still attached to that have gone through this same thing, and they've been able to help me. And they go to different churches in Madison, but, you know, I'm still in contact with them, and maybe one day God will make a way for them to be here. But another point that Brother Byfield made was that when he talked about the storm in the boat when Jesus walked on the water, and he made the point that when Jesus appeared, he didn't calm the storm right away. He first had Peter walk out to him, and you know the story. Peter sank, and Jesus pulled him up, but he didn't calm it till he got back to the boat. And so I remember coming down to the altar and crying and just being like, okay, no matter what happens, I'm going to give you glory. No matter what happens, you're still worthy. No matter what happens, I'm going to give you praise. Because I don't understand why this happened to me, but it's done, and I can choose to be better or be bitter, and I'm going to choose to give you praise. I wish I could tell you that everything changed then, but it didn't. I had an MRI the day before and got the results back a few days later, and it confirmed what they had said. My ACL was torn, and I needed surgery. And so it was a very scary experience. I'd never had surgery before, but I remember Sister Vicky Vernon spoke the night before I went in, and she actually came over and prayed with me, and we just bound fear. And I remembered the prayers I had prayed at Brother Byfield's message, and I was like, okay, this is going to happen. I don't like it, but I'm going to be thankful. And so I want to bring up my second verse, Psalm 119:105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thankfulness doesn't have to be a beam of light. It can just be the next step. I went into surgery. I walked out. I'm thankful. I was off oxy in 2 days. I'm thankful. I was off crutches in a week. I'm thankful. So there's going to be multiple steps, and I'm going to choose to just be thankful throughout the entire process. I'm also thankful that I was able to get down on one knee and get back up. But my last verse is Psalm 106:1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. I'm not giving thanks because I'm happy. I'm giving thanks because he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." This doesn't have anything to do with my situation or how I feel. I'm giving thanks because I know that he is good. So in conclusion, I would just like to make the point that Cambridge got it wrong. We don't have to be happy to be thankful. Thankfulness is a choice whether we feel like it or we don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Colin. This next individual, it's great to have Sister April Driver as part of Calvary Gospel Church. And we're so thankful for her son. She's going to come share with us. God bless you, Sister April.
Wow, you all look amazing from up here. You have a really great view from up here. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Roy, for asking me to speak tonight and to give my testimony. But I will say that when he said, "You have 5 minutes," I laughed. And I did tell him that he's going to need to stand at about 4:30 to let me know that I'm getting close, because I can't fit into 5 minutes all of the amazing things that God has done in my life. It has been such a journey. So I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. My parents divorced when I was 6 years old. I was the oldest of three children. My mother was in search of who she was as a single mom, and I became the manager of the household. I took care of my siblings in the apartment to take some pressure off of my mom. When I was 12, my mom remarried. Now, they thought it was their turn to take over management of the household, and my life was thrown into a tailspin. Where do I fit in? What is my purpose in this family? And where do I go from here? I grew up with a church in my life. Many of you have grown up in the church. Church and the members of this place have been a pivotal part of your lives and your values. I say I grew up with a church because my parents were members and we participated in youth group and Sunday school, but it wasn't part of our core. So I find myself in my teen years not knowing where I fit in my family, in my church, or in my community. I fell into the world and I tried to find my purpose and my meaning. I began drinking alcohol at age 12. The world is not a place to find anything meaningful about the purpose of God that God has for your life. The world lies, and I began to believe all the promises and the lies of the world. I was a great student through my high school career, but I ended up dropping out second semester of my senior year because I wanted to go out into the world. I went and got my HSED, and I continued drinking, moved out of my parents' house, bounced around from place to place. Fast forward 10 years, and I find myself married and expecting my first child. I promised myself that I wouldn't drink while I was pregnant. I was going to do things right for my baby and for my marriage. We went to our first ultrasound at 20 weeks. There was a problem. No one would say anything, but the ultrasound technician was being very evasive, and she left to go get a doctor. The doctor came in and gave us the devastating news. My baby has hydrocephalus, or hydrops. His heart had grown normal, but the rest of his organs were not connected and are floating around in his abdomen. He has a layer of fluid around his brain. He will not survive. They tell me to make an appointment with my doctor and send me on my way. I called my doctor the next day, who referred me to a specialist at St. Mary's Hospital. We made an appointment to see her, and she gave us our options. We can wait and come back every few weeks, and when they don't detect a heartbeat, they'll terminate the pregnancy, or I can go out and have an abortion. I was in tears. I told this doctor that there is no way I am terminating my baby's life. I asked her how she could live with herself every day, knowing that the child growing inside her was not going to survive childbirth. This was a very difficult conversation. I was full of emotions, more than I ever thought a human could experience at one time. The doctor excused herself from the room. She was gone for over 45 minutes. She came back into the room and asked me if I wanted to have my baby today. She had met with the board at the St. Mary's Hospital to get approval to induce labor. I was again filled with so much emotion. Knowing I was going to have a baby and knowing he was never going to take a breath. I gave birth to Ryan Charles on May 7th, 2006. We buried him a week later. I never grieved. I just went back to my unhealthy lifestyle. In December of 2006, I found out I was pregnant again. Shock, trauma, amazement. I felt so many different emotions again. I was high risk throughout this pregnancy. And at the first ultrasound, everything looked great. I was having a baby boy. God is giving me another chance. Ryan got to be with me for a moment and go back to be with his ultimate father. God is giving me the opportunity to keep this baby. That is how Isaac got his name. God gave Abraham and Sarah a son that they thought was impossible. And God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to God to prove his faith. Abraham got to keep Isaac. I got to keep Isaac. I felt that I gave my firstborn son to God, and he let me keep Isaac. Life didn't get any easier, though, after this amazing miracle. I went back to my unhealthy habits. My husband couldn't handle the stay-at-home lifestyle and was out every night. He left us in February of 2008. Isaac was born in August of 2007. I had no job and a six-month-old baby to take care of. Again, I was in a place of, where do I fit in? What is my purpose? Who am I as a person? These questions and feelings were too much, so I headed back to what I knew. The one thing that never judged me and always took me out of all my feelings. Back to drinking. I made so many bad life choices and got into some real legal trouble. Nothing was going to stop me, though. I was not going to feel anything. It was too hard to feel. I was on a path of destruction with no way out. I had my last drink on May 13th of 2014. My sobriety date is May 14th of 2014. If you're doing the math, that makes 10 years this coming May. Thank you. Praise be to God. In June of that year of 2014, I went to a funeral for a friend who lost their baby. I thought I could be strong and help this mother through this because I had already experienced it. I was less than a month sober, and boy, was I wrong. The tears started flowing, and I couldn't stop. I had never allowed myself to grieve this child. I never felt so much sadness and hurt in my whole life. I was way outside my comfort zone at this point. I said, forget it. Forget sobriety, forget life. I'm just going to go home and drink myself away. On my way home, driving on I-3990 right before you get to the bridge, the song came on the radio.
east to west by casting crowns. I sang that song at the top of my lungs, and I met Jesus right there on I-3990. I don't want to end up where you found me. I start the day the war begins, endless reminded of my sin. And time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. I don't have time to give you the entire song, but it just goes on to say that he is holding on to us, even when we don't feel it, and even when we can't see it. He wants better for us. I got home that day, and I just cried. My phone rang, and I looked at the number, and it was a fellow AA member, and so I answered it. They were really struggling and needed someone to talk to. We talked for about an hour, and both left feeling better about life. Neither of us drank that night. I began my search for God by listening to Joyce Meyer's ministries, and I read so many books by so many authors on how God can make my life better. Riding in a van one day on my way to work, a fellow van rider saw me reading and asked if I had ever heard of Kurt Landry Ministries. I said no, and she encouraged me to tune in. It was the meat I was looking for so long. So much of what I was currently reading was the dessert God offered. I didn't buy any of it because I was such a sinner. I didn't deserve his dessert. House of David, Kurt Landry Ministries, taught me the Bible, taught me so much of the Jewish history behind the Bible. I began to participate and honor the feast of the Lord and felt God speak to me so many times. Life is not perfect, but with God in control, it is so worth it. I learned about generational curses and what it all meant in my family line. We had so many unsuccessful marriages and alcoholism running through our line. I didn't realize that it can be broken. I prayed to tears one night that this ends with me. God, break this curse on my family line so that Isaac and his descendants never have to experience this pain, this hurt, and this loss. God told me that night. God told me that night that this is the reason it was so important for me to get sober and to find my path. I had to lose Ryan to know the importance of Isaac, to know why the curse had to break for him, to know a mother's true love for a child. Isaac needed to feel that. Fast forward to today. We started going to this church because Luther George invited Isaac, and we started coming the last weekend of February in 2022. We haven't looked back. I've heard people speaking in tongues before and thought that it was just a spiritual gift that either you had or you didn't have. Until we came here, and I learned from you that this is a gift that God wants everyone to have. I have been filled with the Spirit and baptized in the name of Jesus on March 26th of 2023. I live each day now with a purpose and an understanding of whose I am. Living a life for Jesus is not all sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns. But there are still difficult seasons. And I always remind myself during those times that the promise wasn't that it would be easy, just that it would be worth it. I live to hear him say one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Thank you all for listening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so very much, Sister April. Isn't God so good? Let's just lift our hands. Just thank the Lord for how good he is. Lord, thank you, God. Lord, you are so, so good to us, Lord. Even when we don't deserve it, Lord, you are there and you are good all the time, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have our last speaker this evening. Sister Jeanette Thunder has been part of Calvary Gospel Church, I think, It's got to be going on 40 years, isn't it, Sister Jeanette? Close to that? Since 1985. We love Sister Jeanette. God bless you. Come share with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm here tonight to give thanks to God and to testify that God is a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. We can count on that. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He is a God of hope. He's a God of rest. And he's been all those things to me and much more. I want to kind of focus in on the past 3 years where he has really taught me and worked with me about rest and hope for this last season of my life. I retired at the end of the school year in 2020. COVID was happening. It had started just a couple, 3 months before that. I had a lot of time on my hands because I wasn't really going anywhere, but actually for me it was blessed time that I hadn't had for so long. I was really seeking God for this last season of my life. I mean, that's how it is. When you get to be my age, you know there's 10, 15, 20, 30. The Lord comes back. I don't know when, but it's not like when I was 20 and I could look this whole big life ahead of me, but I wanted to be doing what God wanted me to do. And I just come through several years of grieving the loss of my husband, of my dreams, of what I thought the future was going to hold. And I was just starting to come out of the other side, not as the same person, but very changed by God. I was beyond worn out and exhausted from my job, and I knew I needed to replenish, and I knew I needed to rest. And I began to do a Bible study on rest, and in a nutshell, it was a process, but this is what I learned. I was studying Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then I happened to read that same scripture in the Message, and it just was amazing, changed me. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion," which to me means the external trappings, but not the relationship with God, "come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And the part about taking a real rest, about living freely and lightly, about unforced rhythms of grace really spoke to me, really tugged at my heart. I wanted that so much. I've not really talked about this a lot, but I came from an alcoholic home with a dad who was very verbally abusive to me. And he put into my spirit beliefs that I would never be anything, that I would never accomplish anything, and I was worthless. When I came to God, he did so much healing in my life. When my husband died, it kind of all came back again, that sense of, see, yep, see, nothing ever works out for you. And I had to really work through that, and God helped me by his great grace to do that. But I was so sick of that haranguing of the evil one whose voice matched my dad's voice. And it seemed like I kept fighting the same battle over and over, only to end up feeling like I couldn't do it. And I don't have a joke, but I have a picture. Where's my picture? Oh, my goodness. No picture. Okay, I'll act it out. So my picture is in stick figures. Like, this is me. And then there's this huge chasm I call the Great Divide. And over here is Jesus. And of course, none of us can get over that divide unless we're born again. And then I was born again. And so the great divide is salvation, baptism in Jesus' name, being filled with his spirit. And then I can go over and be with Jesus. So I drew that picture. I got into drawing after I retired, but not very well. And I realized that when I was struggling with those voices, that belief system that had been stuck in my head, when I had a failure or I had some betrayal or something terrible happened, I went from living with Jesus, yay, back over here, unbeknownst to myself, hating myself, thinking I couldn't do it, and I just didn't realize it. And it's a long story I won't tell you here, but God really worked with me about 3 years ago, and I felt like there was a complete healing and deliverance from that in my life, which is amazing. It's so freeing and feeling like the love of God for the first time in my life. It's like being born again, not in the literal sense, but that newness of God. So I wrote in my journal about that time that for all those years, I had been out of sin, but I had never learned to get into life. So I kind of went off here, but anyway, so the part about rest was that just was like, boom, I realized that if God has these unforced rhythms of grace, if I can be with God and learn about him and look how he does it, and I was born again, so I am truly here with him no matter how I feel in my emotions, no matter the circumstances, I can never go back to this. I'm here. I just need to see it. And so I just started trying to look through those eyes, study scripture, pray. And I realized that all I have to do is put on his yoke, lean against him with all my weight, let him be my dad, my good, loving dad that I never had, and let my roots go deep into his living water, let him fight my battles, let his spirit flow through me that will flow out into my actions. But it sounds too easy, right? That's a cop-out. You're not doing your part. Those are the voices I have heard in my head. But I think it all depends on which side of the divide I'm working from. If I'm back over here, camped out in my old with my old self, and I'm looking to cherry-pick the blessings from over here without surrendering to be over here, then I think it is pie in the sky, and it's not real. But the Bible says, and that's the hitch in my spirit sometimes, the Bible says that when we were born again, we were bought with a price, and our lives are no longer our own. So I have to be willing to be over here with him and be willing to have him examine me, correct me, show me those things that I have built that are just hay and stubble that are going to be burned up and purged so that all I have left is Jesus. And I can't tell you how freeing it's been to try to live that way. Not try, but just God helps me. Some days it's just a little step. And as my friend Martha always says, just taking the next right step. Just taking the next right step. And sometimes I call it my evil mist voice because it's like this mist kind of fills my mind when I go back to this side and hear those voices and just say, oh, I see what's happening. And just turn back to him, pray, worship, and sometimes repent. So here I am today in this last season of my life, trying every day in faith to identify with him, to see myself in his kingdom, asking him to teach me how to love more, to develop me so I can reach people, showing them who God really is. God is a God of hope, and he's given me hope that my life is for nothing, because I can tell you that if I look at all the things that never went right in my life, the things that were never mine to have, it would just make me crazy. But at those moments, it's just God. You know how it is when you're going through a horrible, fiery trial, which many of you are. All of a sudden, there is the presence of God. He's right there. And it just shields you from the, like, I can't believe this never happened in my life. So he's been opening doors, giving me new opportunities. I'm meeting all sorts of people in my community, taking different types of education, where I'm meeting people. It's a really, really exciting time. In the past, I would have gone, okay, well, I'm meeting these people, and I'm meeting these people, and that means I have to reach them for God, and then I just get freaked out because I know in my own self, that's not my personality, I'm not going to be able to, and I just go back over here. But I'm learning, if I stay in him, if I stay in his presence so he can transform me day by day, He is the one that's going to help me do what he wants me to do with the people I meet. And Brother Seidel preached a message several months ago, and the part that I remember because it spoke to me was at the end of the message he said something like this, I'm paraphrasing, if God gives you the nudge, if God leads you to somebody or something, he is going to give you the power and the ability to do what he wants you to do. And that has been such a comfort to me as I try to just rest in Jesus, not see my voice, not passively like I'm just not going to do anything, but no, being open to him, letting him correct me, make me grow, so that his love can come up through me to others. So that's where I'm at. So I'm hoping this could encourage anyone. I know people are going through such difficult things, that God is with us, that if you have terrible things that have happened to you in your past, he is a healer and a deliverer. It may not happen overnight. Didn't happen overnight for me, 30-some years. I mean, there were moments when and changes, but it took that time for it to be that moment of deliverance. And I just want to say, talk about one little thing before I end here about my garden. Because, as I said, when I look at my life, and if many of us look at our life with regrets, the things we didn't do, didn't accomplish, should have accomplished, it can be overwhelming. But this summer, in my garden, I had this train of thought, and I suddenly went, wow, this is just like life. And I'm just going to shorten it up here. But I have 2 20-by-20 plots. I have a map that I plan out in the winter, try new things, rotate crops, try new seeds, buy them, plant them in the spring. Everything is going great. But inevitably, by the third week of June, and I knew it was coming, that's when you start getting the insects. That's when you start getting the plant fungal diseases. That's when I see my pepper leaves drooping and my bean leaves being skeletonized by this horrible bug that lays eggs that turn to orange larvae. And that's when I come in and found something ate a huge head of lettuce and it left scat so I could identify it, and it was a groundhog. And all these things happen. My first tomatoes are coming. So excited to eat them. I get to the garden, and there is the tomato still on the vine, mostly eaten by a vole. It's so disappointing. I can't tell you. And this year just devastated me for some reason. And I honestly thought for a moment, is this even worth it? But as the season went on, suddenly one day I looked around and I said, wow, but I'm still getting a harvest. There is still a harvest. My pepper leaves drooped the whole season, and yet, before the first frost, I got a bucket load of peppers. So many tomatoes, so many things, I was giving them away. I was canning them. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that no matter what happens in our lives, when you get to be my age and you look back and you go, wow, this did not turn out like I thought. We don't know what God has planned with our lives. We do not know. And we can't give up. The neighbors next to me went through the same things. They never came back. And all the vegetables on their vines for a month and a half just rotted. And I wondered, were they discouraged? And they didn't come back. And that scripture that Brother Roy's been using as the key scripture for the series, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I just want to encourage myself and all of us here to just keep pressing on, no matter what your life looks like, no matter how you feel, that God has us, that we have an eternity ahead of us, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that's all happening right here. It's not even when we get necessarily to heaven, but he's promised us that now on this earth. So thank you, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving.
Let's all stand here this evening. We're going to have Sister Abby come. And God is so, so, so very good. For what it's worth, Sister Jeanette, my peppers didn't do good, very, very good either. I got more right before the frost. I went out, and I'm like, what is this? They didn't do anything all season. Now, my tomatoes, on the other hand, I don't know, couldn't get rid of them. There are too many of them. But anyway, God is so good. And I'm so thankful to be a part of not just this church, but to be a part of his body. We have such an awesome, incredible church. We're such, it's not perfect. There's nobody here. I'm not a perfect pastor. We're not a perfect pastoral staff. But God is so good. He's good in spite. He's good no matter what we do. He is still good. Right, Sister Mollett? God is so good. And we just want to take, as we close this service out, my wife and I, all the pastors here, our staff at Calvary, I just want to wish all of you a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Sister Jeanette was talking about rest. Talking to a brother earlier this week who was just having a rough go, and I said, you know, brother, sometimes we just need to rest. It's amazing just what a nap at the right time will do. I'm a strong proponent of naps. When I was younger, I hated them. I hated going to bed. Now some days I get out and I'm look at my bed and I pat it real good and nice and say, I'll be back in a little bit. Hang on. I'm coming home. Don't worry about it. I won't be gone long. But as we, Sister Abby leads us in song, I just want us to just close this out. If you want to come down to the front and worship, I just want to give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done, for who he is, and what he's going to complete and do yet in our lives. God bless you.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay in my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice, for you have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you once again to all of our speakers tonight. I appreciate your testimony. It shows how wonderful God is to just bring us all together. Remember happiness, thankfulness. Thankfulness should be a way of life. I like how Brother Colin put that. You don't have to be happy to be thankful. It's a way of life. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. God bless you all. Thank you so very much for coming out. To all of our guests, it's so great to have you here. It's an honor to have you here. We truly trust that you have a very, very happy, blessed Thanksgiving. God bless you, and we will see you back here on Sunday morning. Be safe. If you're traveling, drive safe. If you're cooking, remember, don't overdo it. God bless you.